If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in every Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny. Greetings in the light of the most radiant one. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is spirituality. What exactly does it mean to be spiritual? And what is spirituality? How can you determine if you're living a truly spiritual life? It's interesting. Sometimes I'll hear people say, I don't think I'm very spiritual, or I'm not interested in God, or I don't believe in God, or I'm not into any of that stuff. As if being who you are was an option. I say that because in highest truth, you are spiritual. You've never not been spiritual. It's impossible for you to be anything other than spiritual. That applies to all people, in all conditions, in all states of expression, at all times. There is no one in existence, no matter how seemingly in time and space, debased or fallen or whatever, that does not have the spark of divinity within them. Oh, it may be covered up with all sorts of issues and karma and misidentification patternings, but underneath all of that is a pure and pristine soul, which I want to term tonight the Atma. The Atma is a Sanskrit word which means your essential spiritual core essence. That part that never changes, even though you go through all different experiences in time and space and incarnations and the different patternings we go through. It is never modified or, let's say, deranged by its passages through time and space. Excuse me. So this core essence is what we need to look at when we're looking at spirituality. Spirituality, by definition, in terms of a quality, is defined by love, loving nature. That which loves and forms attachments and unions and bondings with others is that divine component within us. So it's important to understand that God is not a separate entity. Man actually is the image of God. The scriptures, particularly the Indian scriptures, the Vedic scriptures, are very clear in describing the nature of man as God and God as man. From time to time, a perfected soul, a soul that has become totally identified with the divine component, so much so that you could essentially say that that person is God in incarnate form. We here in the West are very used to thinking of Jesus the Christ as the Son of Man and the Son of God, who became one with the Father, or God. And he is our model for that process. Tonight I want to look at the same understanding, but in a slightly different, as I like, you know, each show to take a little different look at it. Tonight I want to look at spirituality through the more Eastern lens of Advaita Vedanta, which is the non-dualistic understanding that God is all that is. And so from time to time, a perfected soul that has totally become one with God will take embodiment to show that divine essence, to walk it forth in the human arena, so that people can come near to a form that's become perfected, so that they can understand the nature, the divine nature, the spiritual nature. It's very difficult for us to understand something that we can't see. Because we have a human body, we tend to look at other human bodies to gain reference points of how to behave, both in the positive and the negative. And therefore, we need a model. We need someone to exemplify the qualities that we associate with divinity. And such a person is termed an avatar, which, as I've said before, means one who has come down from a higher state of consciousness to embody either the totality of divinity, as much as could be embodied in any given time, or an aspect or quality of divinity. And those are called anga or limb avatars. They're appendage avatars that embody an aspect. And then, of course, today we have on the physical planet Sri Satya Sai Baba, which is called a Purna avatar, a full avatar, embodies the totality in this particular time and space. Krishna and Rama and basically the 10 avatars of Vishnu, which included Buddha and Christ and the different manifestations of the divine. And so, man is the image of God. And the avatar comes to teach and restore love and to show how human life can be made divine. And from time to time they come. So literally we are never really left without a God-man upon the earth and soon a God-woman. We have many, many great embodiments, both male and female, throughout time that have embodied the divine principle. And as we move into the Shekinah universe more and more fully, we will have more and more of the divine feminine incarnating and manifesting that divinity. The beauty of it is that you can't lose yourself. You can only lose that which is essentially unreal or temporary as an appearance in time and space. One of the things that causes us pain and disruption is that we don't understand the nature of life. The nature of life in the material world is impermanence. Every single thing is undergoing some form of metamorphosis and change. It never stays static in these lower worlds. It's always moving, either in advancement or declination. It's either waxing or waning. We have this dual nature in everything. And when we try to attach to the impermanent, this particular phenomena is what gives us all the pain and sorrow that we have in life. So we're not taught in the Western tradition, in our schooling or in our churches or in our synagogues, generally speaking, we're not very, very well taught that we are really incarnations of divinity. I went to Mass during the Easter celebration that we just had here in America, and it was interesting. There were three times in which the priest called us sinners, and I thought, how interesting. He actually doesn't read his Bible very much. Because my understanding is that Jesus washed us white as snow and made us saints and righteous. And so where is the sin? Sin means to miss the mark of excellence. And if that missing the mark of excellence has been rectified by the one who rectified it for the entirety of the sonship, that means you and me and everyone, then what is this sinner business? We can miss the mark, perhaps, in our identification of self, but there again, we are re-spliced back into the tree of life by the action of the Christ. We've been re-spliced back into the tree of life. Now, that galactic tree is a program that eventually we will move from this body, which has been under the tree of duality or the knowledge of good and evil, which has death in it. Because we've been re-spliced back into the tree of life, we have been granted eternal life once again, which means that that road which had been made crooked and went off, veered off course, has been made straight. And now we are moving into that program, which eventually will see our physical forms actually transubstantiate back into the divine program, which is deathless. This is a gift of grace. It is a gift of the Father or the Creator. It is a gift of truth. It is an insert of truth back into the nightmare of separation from Source. And therefore, we are very likely that generation. I believe that many of us will be that generation that will actually not see death, but we will go through that transformation into those immortalized bodies of light, which we are told in the Bible will occur in a twinkling of an eye. And we will go on into eternality in a body that has been restored back to the tree of life and life everlasting. Therefore, your divine heritage as a child of God, as an incarnation of God, as one who is in the image of God, is to go from glory to glory. And glory again means the entering into the eternal realms that go beyond our ability actually to even conceive or describe or imagine that which has been prepared for us as we move through these transformative processes. As we move through the very last throes of the conflicts of the energies that are playing out in the outer world, we keep our eyes single. We're walking on the razor's edge, not looking to the right, not looking to the left, keeping our eyes straight ahead, focused clearly on the image of the divine that we live and move and have our being in. And that tracking device is our loving. That is the tracking device that lets you know you're on course, is when you are clear, centered, attuned, integrated, and walking in the living love. This requires a certain amount of daily maintenance, daily attentiveness, because the nature of the world is to draw you into distraction and discord and disputation and differentiation and separation, just the nature of things down here. You have a negative energy field that tries to snare you into negative scenarios because it gains life through feeding on negative expression. And negative expression is more common down here than positive expression, so there's a lot more negativity, generally speaking, available than there is the positive. It's said that that negative path is a broad path that many are upon, and that the path to life everlasting is a narrow path. And so to find that narrow path, we have to be very aware and selective in the operational choices that we make, the directives that we issue forth into our life. And again, that's being very, very attentive to what we want to have as our reality, what we want to choose and perpetrate as our particular main enchilada for our life, our main focus. I think probably most people who have stuck with my show as far as this one, I think we're in quite a few months now of this show, are probably people who are very intent upon realizing truth in this lifetime and making this their last, absolutely last, obligatory incarnation. We will have unlimited time to keep re-embodying from age to age if that's what we want to do. We want to take the long and slow boat to China, we can do that. But the path I'm suggesting is for those that want to make this incarnation their last one, or their souls that are trying not to get snagged here because they're already coming from a very advanced state onto the earth to be of service, and they want to be careful not to get caught up in the karmic field of this earth where it snares them back into the reincarnational cycles. So again, awareness, awareness, awareness. That's the only way to keep your feet on this path. You can never go to sleep at the switch. In fact, to be a disciple simply means that you are willing to put yourself under the discipline necessary to follow the Christ without any deviation. So this loving quality is what denotes a spiritual life. And everyone has love towards something. Even if it's their vice or their cat or their dog or their relative, everyone has some attachment. When it is an attachment that is love directed to material objects, there again, when it is only on material objects, then you have the experiences of temporary happiness followed by sorrow, because you're going to have it for a while, and then, because it's the nature of things here, you're going to lose it at some point in one way or another. You cannot hold things in the material realm constant for very long. So when you know the nature of that, then you begin to put your love where it is going to be eternally building and eternally present and eternally an acquisition that you will always have in you and with you, and that you take with you when you progress into the other dimensions. And that is what we want to focus on. This one divine life principle that we call God dwells as that ongoing flow of life, that ongoing flow of radiance that naturally expresses in service, freedom, peace, and joy. It just goes with the territory that when you're centered, attuned, and clear in your loving essence, you have a tremendous sense of expansiveness, freedom, peace, and joy. In fact, this is a nice model to consider. Love, expressed in thought and word, is truth. Love, expressed through actions, is righteousness or dharma. Love, expressed through feelings, is peace. And love, expressed as understanding, is non-violence. So the whole purpose of the human body is to communicate love. Your health will be excellent as long as your body is used to communicate love. We are known as people of God by our love for one another. And so the body will tend to break down. The mind will tend to become deranged and mentally upset. And the emotions shut down and traumatized when we keep putting loveless actions and energies through our life, through our mind, through our thoughts, and through our belief systems. The body is not designed to carry loveless energy. It actually begins to self-destruct. It begins to exhibit all forms of maladies and stress. When you're in stress, it means that you are trying to do something you're not designed to do, or you're looking at something in the wrong way, because there's no necessity to have any kind of stress if you really know what is yours to do and what is not yours to do. Begin to look at those things that make you crazy in your life and ask yourself, is this really something that God would have me do? is this really necessary to put myself through this? Is there another way I can look at it? Is there a way I can simplify? Is there a way I can shift the dynamic here? Sometimes it's simply feedback that you need an attitudinal adjustment. And sometimes you're doing something that is just really out of the divine will for your life. How can you tell that? Well, you're not succeeding in things that are not in alignment with your divine patterning or your divine heritage. We try to succeed at things that are sometimes not God's will for us. And this is what we need to look at. What is God's will? God's will is your will purified. What does that mean? Well, let's look at it this way. The lower mind is made of the warp and woof of desires. The divine mind is made of clear, divine, open embracement of all. It's a state in which you are totally centered in everything, so you have no need, no wish, no desire. You simply are in a state of fulfillment. That level of consciousness sits just the next level above the crazy-making field of incessant desire. For example, we've all gone to a banquet, perhaps, or a buffet, where there's all kinds of wonderful food. How many times have you gobbled down your food, not really tasting it, with your mind thinking about what you're going to go get next? Or there's so many instances in our life in which we have a similar experience of where we're not totally present and really enjoying and fulfilled in what we're experiencing, but we've already leapt on to the next thing. And that is the nature of the lower ego-based mind. It's never satisfied. It's that part of you that will always doubt, always question, always have reservations, always have withholds. It never fully can enter into the present moment because the present moment is God. God is 100% being centered here and now. When you're centered here and now in this instant, you have all the power present with you that you can create from. When you're scattered, you don't have too much power. It is kind of like a firecracker going off all over the place. And so that is not a centered will. And that's what keeps us distracted and off course and out of alignment with our true spirituality, which is pure and clear and centered loving. You know, when you're with a person who has realized who they are spiritually, it's so easy to be with them because they're kicked back, they're relaxed, they're laughing, they're joyful. They're just accepting each moment as it comes, and they're meeting it with an open heart, with clear communication, and with appreciation. And I think that's something we all desire. We all want to have that. Okay, here are some ways that we can begin to do that. First of all, there's a need for us to take periodically an inventory of our life to see what we are doing day by day, because it's out of your daily habits and behaviors and choices that you are creating your future. You are creating your future by what you did today. So begin to look at what you did from the time you woke up in the morning until the time you went to bed or going to bed tonight. Really look, what did I put my focus, energy, time, and effort into today? And as a result, how much did I deposit into the real and the permanent and my real purpose, and how much just was kind of fritzed away? We're going to need to really be wise in how we expend our time and our energy and our money and our focus, because this life in this particular dimension is very, very quick. And basically it's for the purpose of developing patience, developing awareness, and developing the strength to meet challenges skillfully and to know how to resolve them harmoniously. So there'll always be those challenges. You can't have a life where it's without the contrast here, because you're in a plane of duality and polarity. So there's always going to be those things that are challenging for you, that stretch you, that enable you to exercise your mastery, exercise your divinity, exercise your loving. So as we come into a time that is becoming informational overload, media overload, and distractional overload, I think the most important thing that any of us can do is to designate a time of the day where we can be still. Take that phone off the hook. I'll tell you, don't even think of calling me before 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't care what's happening on the planet. From the time I wake up in the morning until 1 o'clock, that's my God time. I don't care who calls. I don't care what's going on. I don't even want to know what's going on. I just want time, quality time, to be with the divine presence within me. Now take a deep breath. And go into that heart, and right into your chest, right into your core. That part that's listening, that's observing, that's you. That's the God part, that's the Atma. Just breathe in and breathe out. Do you know, beloveds, that is the only thing that you have to do on this physical plane is breathe in and breathe out. That's it. Everything else is an add-on. I tell you a truth. If you look at nature, everything in nature has been provided for. Everything. Everything has its food. Everything has its place in the food chain. Everything. Do you know what your place is in the food chain? You are to manufacture ananda. That's bliss. Divine ananda. Ananda is that state when you're centered and you're completely in the present moment. There's no thought. There's no emotional drama. There's no physical pain. You're simply in the presence. That is your dharma. That is your duty. That is the way you partake of God. You eat God. And if you want to look at it that way, you feed God, because God only consumes bliss. So we are made in the image of God, to be of the nature of God, loving bliss. In fact, sometimes New Age people like to call Jesus Sananda. Do you know what that means in Sanskrit? It means sa, divine or sacred, ananda, bliss. So Sananda means divine, sacred bliss. So that is your nature, to be in that state. I was in the ashram of Sai Baba, and we have to get up very early in the morning there, and we march around the ashram in the... it's still dark when we get up. It's about 4:30. And we march around the ashram, the men in one great big long snaking line, and the women in another long snaking line, and we move around. It's called Naga Sankirtan, which again is moving, you know, in a serpentine patterning throughout the ashram and doing kirtana or repetition and singing of the names of God. So I was doing that and, you know, sleeping and trying to keep warm, because it's quite cool, you know, in the winter in the ashram in India, and you have your little shawls on and they're shuffling along with all these women. And I remembered Sai Baba said that when you sing bhajans, you know, or kirtana, divine songs, hymns to God, that that immediately puts you into ananda. And I thought, well, let me see what this ananda is that he's talking about. And when I noticed, I had no body consciousness because I was totally focused on singing. I had no emotional drama going on because, again, I was totally focused on singing. And I had no thought going on. And I thought, oh, that's ananda. That's bliss. That's that worship and praise that we are called to do. It says in the Bible, those that worship God, worship Him in spirit and in truth. So that's another way of saying the same thing. You enter in to that presence, and everything else goes still. Another analogy that's given that's a very good one is the bumblebee. It makes a lot of noise when he's seeking out a nice flower to suck the nectar from. But the minute he begins to drink the nectar of the flower, the bee becomes silent. He's absorbed in the nectar. Same thing with a little hummingbird. They're all flutter and activity until they're suddenly drinking that nectar. And then they become still for just a second while they're drinking. So we become still when we're drinking of the divine nectar. And we drink of the divine nectar when we purpose with our intention and our mind to spend time in the presence, to dwell in the presence. And again, take a deep breath and return your awareness and your intention into the presence, the holy presence within the core of your innermost being. Ride that breath right down to where it stops in your heart. That is where you touch the throne of God, right within your core essence. And commune with the beloved. Express your heart. You can say, I love you. I love you, beloved. Or whatever occurs to you. Don't make rituals and rites out of this time. Allow it to be intimate. Allow it to be spontaneous. Allow it to be within the mood of the moment. You can do this at any time, any place. The Course in Miracles calls it, I will be still an instant and return home. It's that holy instant in which the world is forgotten and the presence of God simply is. Do whatever it takes in your life to prioritize that sacred time with the beloved, that sacred communion. Some people do it best when they're out in nature. Some people do it best when they're out riding their horse or walking their dog or whatever it is that you need to do to connect. But make that time of connection your number one priority. Put that first, and you'll find that everything else will take care of itself. Those old Tao masters over in China, some of them are up, my gosh, they're over 100 years old, and they're still active and energetic and healthy and strong. They have such chi force, some of them can give you a look and send you up against the wall. And they have said that if you will spend 1 hour a day totally quiet, sitting in the silence, that is what will give you perfect health and perfect chi force. Well, I found that most Westerners are extremely, as it's called in the East, rajasic. Rajasic means they're always got to be acting and doing something and accomplishing and, you know, achieving and whatever. The best way to chill out with that particular quality is to find whatever it is that you like to do that puts you in a non-mental zone. Music is great for that. playing music is great for that. Dance is also great for that. And the other thing that's great for that is any kind of form of art, whether it's sculpture or painting. Whatever it is that you love to do so much, you just get totally absorbed in it. I can do that when I study or when I meditate. I really, it's easy for me to go into that state. But find out whatever it is that puts you in that state and use that to go into that presence, to allow yourself to be centered in that divine presence. Be attuned to that stillness. Begin to become familiar with yourself when you're in these higher states of attunement. Find out what puts you in that state and use that as your tool and find ways to increase it so that you can be in that state all the time. Train yourself to stay in that state all the time. You don't have to drop it and move out of it at all. With practice, you will begin to stay in that state more and more and more till eventually you find that it's your nature. It's so much your nature to stay in the peace and the bliss of God that you wouldn't sacrifice that for anything. You'll find that all tendencies of anger and aggressiveness and irritation and impatience will begin to be dissolved. Those negative states will dissolve, absolutely dissolve, if you go into the stillness of the presence at least once a day. And don't even think in terms of timing it. Just be spontaneous in cultivating that. And use love as your tracking device in your day to see if you're centered. And if you find that you step into irritation, or sometimes when we move out amongst people, if we're tremendously sensitive, we'll pick up thought forms or energies in the places we go. So learn what is your state and what is not your state. And ask to be cleared. Ask that any energies that don't serve your highest good be cleared through the Christ light for the highest good. And you'll find they will drop off. When you come home, take a shower and put on your house clothes. If you go out amongst people a lot and you're extremely sensitive and you don't take a shower before you go to bed, you'll be wearing all that aura, all those auric release patterns come into your aura. And if you're tremendously sensitive, that disrupts you. So learn spiritual ecology, which is to keep yourself clear, keep your house clear, keep your car clear, keep everything clear. You can use sage, you can use candles, use white candles, dedicate the candles for that purpose that you want them to fulfill. You can use really fine quality incense, like sandalwood is the best. You can use frankincense and myrrh, that's also excellent. You can use rose incense, you can use Nag Champa. But use really quality, not that chemical incense. Don't use that. But real, quality floral incense. And as you do that, you'll find that your whole being begins to become more centered when you begin to make your environment as close to the divine as you possibly can. Make your home a place where when you walk in it, it just sustains and holds that sanctity, that vibration that you want to keep in your home. Make it joyful and clean and fresh. Keep the air circulating. Have lots of plants and things that keep it really vitalized with lots of oxygen. So these are things that will help you to maintain that spiritual edge so that when you do move out in the world and you go wherever it is that you go, you are fortified in your own portable paradise that you've spent time to build in your aura, in your mind, in your emotional body. You'll have a real solid temple and foundation that you can live your life from. So that, and looking at the things you don't have to do today, I think simplifying our lives is really important. I wonder why people want to be enslaved by cell phones. I've noticed people don't seem to have any kind of boundaries or discernment in the using of these texts and these cell phones. And they will allow themselves to be disrupted so that they can't keep their focus on what they're doing, whether they're driving or having a conversation. Again, this produces a very fragmented life if you don't learn how to focus your attention and do what you're doing until you're not. When you eat, eat. When you drive, drive. When you're with someone, be with them. When you're sleeping, sleep. It seems simple, but I find today people are multitasking to the point of insanity, and they're not centered, they're not aware, and they're moving into more and more fragmentation of their consciousness. And this is not going to produce good things in their lives because they don't have the power, you see, to back what it is that they're wishing to manifest, an intent, the intent of their lives. So what is the intent of your life? Is it to be a self-realized master? Is it to make this your last obligatory incarnation? Is it to produce something that will be a beautiful gift to this planet, some invention, some creative expression, something that when you leave, you will go down in history as having made this particular contribution? What is it that your life is about? What do you want it to be about? Do you know that you're under no one's obligation to do their thing, their vision, their whatever? You have only an obligation to be yourself, to live your life, to follow your God, to have the belief system that works for you, to do the type of mission that you decide fulfills you. I think it's very hard when you try to pattern yourself off another human being. We're made unique for the simple reason that obviously the divine one in all of us wants to be experiencing diversity. So there's not another person on the earth like you. There is not another one that has your love signature. It's unique in all of the cosmos. Not another person has your exact same love vibration. And no one has that particular ability to speak like you or to manifest energetically whatever it is you're producing, whether it's music or art or writing, whatever your mission is. You are a one of and unique. You were made for a purpose. You were made to be an instrument for God, a vehicle for the divine. You are an avatar, one who has come from a higher state to manifest the divine, to make God visible in time and space. You will never cease to be. We are moving in the most marvelous, marvelous dimensional progression into a higher version of life. It's going to get better and brighter and more beautiful. Just keep your eyes single upon the Lord and upon that loving, and you will find that you are moving into the kingdom of heaven within and without. You will find that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, which is the kingdom of heaven, that has become your natural state. You will find that security you seek. You will find that success you seek. Everything succeeds when you come into alignment with your divine purpose and what is the will of God concerning you. Your will and God's will are one. When you drop all of the shoulds and have-tos and all of the ego's agenda and all of the stuff that makes life complicated, the spiritual life is a life of absolute simplicity. It all reduces to breathing in and breathing out and loving, loving, loving. This loving state is not something that anybody can be forced into. It comes when we choose God, when we choose the divine, when that becomes our focus, when that becomes our love, when that occupies more and more of our thoughts and our feelings and our attention, to the point that we actually become that divinity. We're always divine. It's just covered up now with the Maya, as it's called, that cloak of illusion. And so as we spend time each day, quality time, with the beloved, spend time also in clearing and centering yourself. Find those techniques that work for you. Read a portion of something that really keeps you focused and centered. I personally highly recommend A Course in Miracles. I think it is one of the absolute best things you can feed your mind. There are many wonderful spiritual texts, the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, the Daily Word that Unity Church of Christianity puts out. It's a wonderful book. Affirmations to read in the morning. Yogananda has many wonderful meditations. There again, when you sit in the silence, just place your intention to draw near and to sense the presence of the beloved within you. And that will immediately cause that sensation of sacredness to draw near to you and to begin to keep company with you. And it's interesting. God takes the form of your devotion. God is formless, but takes the form of your devotion. We've all had the experience of God appearing to us, but maybe some of you haven't. I definitely have. And God actually will take the shape of the thought of devotion that you extend out. That will produce dreams in which that particular aspect of God that you envision will come in your dreams. Those are the real dreams. The others are most often what you eat for dinner. But the real dreams are dreams of the divine, or dreams of flying. The flying is when you're in your spiritual body and you're moving in spiritual inner awareness through the dimensional realms. And as you move, they rearrange themselves to accommodate that picture of reality that you're moving into. And that gives a sensation of travel. But really, it's just the atoms rearranging themselves. So you become the very image of God as you become more and more aware that spirituality is who you are and what you are, and that loving is that spiritual quality made manifest to the human form. The object of your devotion should be to realize God in your heart, so much so that you allow him to fill all parts of your being with divine light and divine power. And when you do this, your hearts will be overflowing with divine love towards all beings in the world. Your eyes will begin to see the divine everywhere you look. Everything you put your hands to will be for the good of everyone, and everything that you put your mind and your hand to doing will ultimately turn to bless you and everyone involved. And then, as you live in this way, you ultimately become the very embodiment of God, filled with bliss and ever surcharged with ecstasy. That puts you in a state where the difference between the devotee and the beloved simply disappears. And there's just that divine Ananda, that Sananda. All is left is that divine bliss. And the constant remembrance and surrender to the divine makes you the divine itself. So when you constantly dwell upon the divine, you become the very image of the divine. And in this way, you'll joy, love, immortal joy, and immortal peace. It won't be something that comes and goes or is subject to change and disappointment. It is something that builds and grows and becomes more and more who you are and what you are from day to day. Once you have learned to look at all things through the eyes of love, they turn to bless you. you find that you're no longer under the law of karma. You have become one who lives and loves and exists and moves in the realm of grace. Grace is where you simply love, and everything you need comes to you unasked and unbidden. Sai Baba said one time that people sometimes give 10% devotion and expect 100% blessings of grace. But he says, once you give total devotion to God, you don't even need to pray anymore, because God will foresee everything you need and supply it before you even have a chance to ask. I know that's been true in my life, and it will be true in anyone's life who puts God first. So prioritize that time with the Lord, preferably as early as possible in the morning. If you have to go to bed earlier, to get up earlier, to spend that quality time, then do that. Do whatever it takes. Make that sacrifice, and you'll find it will give you everything that you desire, plus a tremendously strong immune system and great energy. I don't know anybody that meditates that doesn't have a tremendous energy field, tremendous vitality. This is what gives you health and energy and vitality, is time with God, because God is energy. God is Shakti. So that chi force, that Shakti, that prana, comes from spending time with the beloved and drinking of that divine essence and allowing it to fill you, just like that little honeybee drinks of that nectar and becomes silently absorbed. Drink of the divine nectar of the beloved, and fill your heart, your heart's chalice, to overflowing with the sweetness of that presence, and then let it flow out to others that you meet, until pretty soon the only thing you see is the face of the beloved wherever you look. And that, beloveds, will come faster than you can imagine if you just apply it every day. Tonight we would like to send the light to our brothers and sisters throughout the world. So just purpose and intend as you send your light through your palms to all the places on the earth where people are suffering, where people are afraid, where people are having very, very challenging experiences now. And we ask that whatever can be lifted through grace, that it be lifted, and that people be given the strength and the faith and the presence and the love of God to sustain them as they go through whatever it is their soul's destiny has chosen to undergo at this time. We pray for the enlightenment, the peace, the happiness, and the joy of all beings, all worlds, all universes. May all the worlds be happy. May all the beings be happy. May all ascend into the higher dimensional versions of these planetary worlds that we are occupying. May we all move into the divine ordering that is our next step for our highest good, for our greatest advancement. And that we send the love throughout the grid to all the light workers throughout the world to strengthen them in their missions, to dispel the negative thought forms that come around us at times to defeat us, and to emblazon each aura with the divine and holy fire of God's love and light and illumination. Strength and blessings to all of you, beloveds. You're doing magnificently as you just keep choosing the loving. That's all you need to do. Just keep that breath. Remember that breath is God breathing in you and through you. And just keep moving in the loving. And soon, very soon, we will be in that higher dimension. And tonight, let's close with a Hu chant. And Hu is a love song to God that attunes you to that highest vibration beyond the mind. Take a deep breath. Hu. Adonai all, and good evening.